saying I want to move on from this, but I, dude, look at the text pouring in. I can stay on this for a little. You guys want to stay on the Urban Meyer thing? I guess we could. Eastside Chris says, enough. Can Jalen Smith help? Sorry, I attempted to let the urban story go. You bring out the worst of me. Do you fellas live in an urban area? Ha. Good. Yes. Mysterio says, some people mourn in different ways. Okay. Oh, boy. There's a lot here. They were on a mini bye week. Guarantee half the team coaches and staff were in Vegas or Cabo or the local club's party. I mean, that's a pretty strong guarantee there. Okay. How many 57-year-olds are out clubbing? I mean, I'm in a different world. I understand that. But even when it comes to millionaires. Let's read this. Okay, Dixon says, from a football perspective, I could care less. But from a married man perspective, it bothers me on principle, but it's none of my business. I get where you're coming. We're trying not to judge, right? You don't want to, okay, maybe he's having a weird, I have no clue. But the problem is, it is those players' business. Did you see that? Who was the Washington quarterback that stepped in 2 weeks ago? Just by winning that game, he got like a $450,000 bump in pay. Just by getting a win, that was part of his bonus. These players are going to get bonuses if they win games, if they get a certain amount of stats. So when I look at it and I see my coaches out, whether he's dancing up on a girl or not, even if he's just dancing by himself to dancing with myself and drinking and clubbing, and you got Kanye in the background, all that stuff's happening, I still think it's kind of a weird look. 57-year-old coach trying to get this organization back on track. I kind of have an image of you in the lab every single day, every single night. I talk to college coaches for a living, Colfax, and I can barely get 5 minutes individually to just call them on the phone and stuff. They are constantly going. And these are good dudes I'm talking to, I guess. So, but these guys are like, hey, listen, Urban Meyer, there's no mistake. He's never been a guy that I've been a huge fan of. But I agree with you on the standpoint of the moral police. We don't need to be moral police. But when it does come to, okay, you're the head football coach, will fans not support Jacksonville? Will they not go to a game because they don't like the guy in charge? Oh, suddenly it does become the owner's business. Suddenly it does become the player's business. You know, you're giving me a hard time because I said, hey, it'd be okay if he was 4-0. I'm saying the look would still be bad, but would it be as bad if they're 4-0? Winning cures all. It does. We were talking about Terrell Owens. Remember Terrell Owens? One of the greatest wide receivers that ever lived. And I always said this. I think he was still playing when we started the show. I said, hey, you put up with it until his off-the-field stuff outweighs his on-the-field stuff. And he wasn't a guy that always got into, like, mega trouble. He was just always distracting. You know, working out in his yard, not going to camp on the holdout, and holding his own press conference, doing that kind of stuff. You remember that. And I always said, hey, until he's not worth it, you know, you're gonna keep paying him. You're gonna keep putting him on the field. Well, now you're dealing with a 57-year-old coach that's out at his own club or whatever restaurant. It's not a great look. He took pictures with her and everything. So yeah, it's a bothersome thing. It definitely is. There's a lot to this. Texter, you just got to be careful when we pick and choose who gets criticized for bad qualities in their character that some have themselves or that many other people have. I don't want my defensive back to be stoned and drunk that he doesn't remember shooting himself outside of a strip club. Yeah, because you were very lenient on that one with us. But apparently that's none of my business as long as he performs on Sunday. I'm sorry, are you new here? Tyreek Hill, anybody? I mean, come on, dude. This is the National Football League. There's a lot of guys on rosters that do crap that, hey, You get reprimanded, you get suspended, whatever. But if your play on the field is still good enough, it's going to work. That's how the league works. If you don't like it or don't understand it, then you're not watching. That's how the professional sports world works. Allen Iverson admitted, George Karl admitted that Allen Iverson would come to practice like still smelling of alcohol. He still got the job done on the floor. So yeah, I'm sorry. Sports-wise, business, if you're looking at it as a purely a business standpoint, you're the owner of this team, and you're 0-4. You went out and hired a college coach, which is a risky move anyway, and you're 0-4, and you see that as a businessman, as the owner of that team, you're damn right I'm pissed. Absolutely my freaking business, bro. You're 0-4, and that's the look that's out now? Now I have to deal with that? The fact that you had to have meetings about this all week, this is absolutely a bad look. So if you don't say it is, it's crazy. If you're 4-0, yeah, sorry. It's a different story. Not morally, but football-wise and business-wise, it's a different story. Absolutely. I mean, are we talking about Robert Kraft anymore? Does that story even exist? Why? Do we talk about any of, and again, I know they're totally different issues, but do we even talk about Deflategate anymore with Tom Brady? Do we even talk about Spygate anymore? No, all we talk about is GOAT, 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 GOAT. Things change when you're good. Dixon says, so players can do whatever they want, but coaches can't. Kind of. They're the leaders of the team. With great leadership comes great responsibility. What don't you understand about that? You're head coach. You are not their friend. You are hiring and firing guys. You need to lead them. You need to set a good example. You need to set the tone. Isai Christius, you tried to hire him. Hunt Club's closed, though. The Den would have done. All right. Okay. Oh, boy. No, if you're not understanding the difference, I brought up Matt Russell, Dixon. I'm giving you a Bronco. Matt Russell, when he got the DUI, I thought at the time they should move on from him. Because how are you going to reprimand your team and get on to them about that kind of stuff in the future? You're going to have a hard time, at least for the foreseeable future. It's difficult when you have people that are in leadership roles do things like this. You can't have it. I'm sorry. And yeah, even quarterbacks, probably quarterbacks are up in that side of it. I would say quarterbacks, isn't the head coach and a quarterback the most important thing to a football team? So I agree. I do agree. I think a quarterback is probably held to a similar standard. It's just that's the look, man. That's just how it is. You're expected to be our leader. You know, I know they make a lot of damn good money, but our livelihoods depend on winning games. That's what we're supposed to do. That's how we get bonuses. That's how we get contract extensions. And when we look and see if anybody's not doing the right things, yeah, it's a bother. Sometimes they get bothered by players doing it, but they damn sure get bothered by coaches doing it. This is a bad look. Moving on. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Dixon just says John Elway cheated on his wife. What is that? Like, What is that? Like, you're telling me not to be the moral police. I don't just spew that out right there. I know what I saw in a video, and that's what we're commenting on, is the video. If John Elway would have been seen at this club last year while he was still the GM, I'm guessing our arch nemesis of the show would have something to say about that. And as we all would. All right, moving on, Colfax. We have to move on at some point. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Are you rooting for Nolan Arenado and the St. Louis Cardinals tonight in the NL wild card game? I got to close the text line because we got to move on. We got to move on, man. I know that. Listen, I could talk Urban Meyer all day long, but fortunately, we don't have to worry about it. Our head coach goes to bed at a reasonable hour, like 6 o'clock, right after Jeopardy. It's fantastic. And we're 3-1, so... You know, Vic could probably afford to stay up a little bit later, watch something a little bit more, controversial. But we're happy with what we got. Well, for now. Got to figure out the timeout situation. How about Javonte Williams? I mean, why does this guy not have more carries? What is happening last Sunday, there was a lot of things that were wrong with that game. And I'm not even saying that, hey, if you turn it around and you run the ball better, or if you run the ball more, you're going to win that game. But their one score was when they were running the ball well. Javonte Williams is carrying people. If I see a guy carry somebody like that, that credits you an extra 5 carries even when I wasn't planning on doing it. He had 7 carries in that game. 7 carries. You know me, I'm the guy who wants to see a bell cow get the ball. I don't know. Like Latavius Murray did, 18 for 59 yards. And I get it, they're running him late to try to run the clock out and to get that record. But how are you just going to give this guy 7 carries? He had 48 yards. And I liked what Zach Stevens told us yesterday. That was interesting because he brought up the stats and said, hey, your run game, yards per carry, was pretty good. Both guys were averaging over 6. Javonte Williams was averaging 7. And Vic said, no, we didn't run particularly well. Don't pay attention to the averages. But you didn't even give them that many carries. The average was great. Yeah, if Javonte had a 31-yard run, but seven carries is what you're going to give this guy? And listen, this game was never out of real reach until like the last few minutes in that fourth quarter. Seriously, like you could have made a comeback. It was 17-7 at halftime. You put Drew Lock out there and you run, what do they run? Four times after that. They ran the ball four times and it was a 10-point game all the way through the third quarter. Baltimore only scored six in the fourth. There are times when you sit back and you look at this coaching staff and you just go, I mean, because I never coached football. You know, I don't know how to call plays and all that stuff. But there are times even us small-minded fans can look at it and go, you were only down 10. You had a backup quarterback in. You have a proven running back in Melvin Gordon. You have a rookie that everybody's really excited about in Javonte Williams. And you're going to give between the two of them four carries in the second half when your backup quarterback has not been getting any reps at all throughout the course of the week with the starting lineup. Something seems a bit off there. I mean, that, again, it seemed like the game plan was different for Drew Lock than it was Teddy Bridgewater. I'm not saying they're sabotaging him. I'm just saying your expectations of Lock for a guy that's your backup were pretty damn high when it was a 10-point game through an entire quarter of football and you ran the ball four times. Four. That number is ridiculous. 17 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. Do you want to thank Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service? Services as unique as life. Live well, plan ahead. Give Scott Robiner, a member of their great staff, a call today and talk to them about pre-planning. It's an amazing gift. That's Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. 970-330-6824. Services as unique as life. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. When we come back, let's talk about the Broncos. Where are they according to NFL.com's power rankings? We'll discuss next.
Northern Colorado's voice and the leader in prep sports is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody, this is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on The Whole Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Thanks for being with us here. Norfolk Iron and Metal, they're in the hiring market like a lot of people are right now, but they're incredibly competitive as far as what they're offering. Norfolk Iron and Metal, like so many, they're looking for great members to join their team. Visit their website, norfolkiron.com. You can call their Greeley location, 970-352-6722, to find out why your next job should be at Norfolk Iron and Metal. That's 970-352-6722. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. If you're new to the show, you want to get involved, text KFKA to the number. Get you in the mix. Get you a nickname. Get it going. And we'll see what you have to say on all this stuff. It's a weird day. It's been a weird week so far. Weird Wednesday. The story out of UNC is kind of weird too, man. I mean, it sounds like, you know, UNC saying one thing about what Max McCaffrey did with his clipboard. And this kid, Demarius, is saying, no, I was heckling him about his pants, which is just hilarious. And he chucked a clipboard around me, and it ended up hitting a 60-year-old guy. And there was a medical staff on hand that looked at him briefly, is what we're told. But UNC, on the other hand, kind of made it appear as though someone wanted some memorabilia, and so he tossed up a broken chunk of clipboard. That's very interesting. I don't know. Do you tend to go the route of where there's smoke, there's fire? This kid's admitting that he was making fun of someone's pants. So you don't make that up. Typically, what were you heckling him about losing the game? What were you saying? I was making fun of his pants. Your what? His pants. They were tight. I was making fun of him. Why were you looking at his pants? What was going on? You were there for a football game. Yeah, that was it. It's like, why would you make that story up? That sounds realistic. That's a pretty specific thing to be making fun of somebody about. I just love Jaden's article in the Tribune, though, at the end. UNC could not be reached to confirm whether or not someone was making fun of Max McCaffrey's pants. Is that one of those where they're like, I'm not answering that. I don't know. I don't care about somebody's pants. Get out of here with that. Oh, boy. NFL.com has the Denver Broncos ranked at number 16 in their power rankings. Right in the middle, right in the thick of things. And you know what? I'm not necessarily going to argue. And because they played three pretty bad teams, and they pretty much got smoked by Baltimore. You know, you got the one touchdown there. Again, you stopped running the ball. There's a lot hanging on this game Sunday. I mean, this weekend is absolutely huge for Denver. And it's kind of scary because you can look at it. Pittsburgh's trying to get it right. They could be really bad, though. This could be a game where they get everything right. You know, it's at home. So it's definitely a worry. But the Broncos are, according to the NFL power rankings, they're sitting right at number 16. They're the worst ranked team in the AFC West, so they're behind everybody in the AFC West, behind the Chargers sitting at number 8, the Chiefs are at number 9, and the Raiders are sitting at number 11. The Steelers came in ranked at number 2. The Arizona Cardinals, undefeated, are ranked number 1. Oh, and the Jaguars are ranked 32, if you guys were wondering. So, again, they're the worst team in the NFL. But you keep doing your thing, Herbs. Had to take one more shot there. I'm telling you, this is one of those swing games. If you win this game, you beat Pittsburgh, you know, you're 4-1, you get back on track in Pittsburgh, even though, you know, we're saying Pittsburgh's a bad team. They are right now. I still think this would be a respectable win for Denver, not like beating the Giants, the Jets, or the Jags, which the Giants and the Jets both won over the weekend, too. So, I mean, that should help you feel a little bit better about your first three wins. But when you look at the remaining or the schedule coming up in the next few weeks, you're at Pittsburgh, home against the Raiders next Sunday. That's certainly not going to be an easy task. You're at Cleveland the following Thursday. Then you're home against Washington. Then you're at Dallas. Washington's defense has proven to be all right. At Dallas, their offense and their defense is looking pretty good. Dallas might be a damn good team. Eagles, suddenly that easy schedule we talked about doesn't look so easy. Because you got the first part. That's why those first three games were just absolutely colossal. Those were huge. You had to win those games. Fortunately, they did. Their first real test against Baltimore was a dud, and you lose Teddy Bridgewater at least for the game, for the half. It sure feels like he's not going to make it. Not going to make it to this Sunday's game. But we'll keep our eye on it for sure. Zach Stevens tweeted out that Vic Fangio and Drew Lock both agree that he is a starting caliber quarterback. Well, at least they're confident there. Just the bottom line is you have to find a way to really establish the run game. And I don't know, is Pat Shurmur not interested in that? Is that not his cup of tea? You know, he's got to get that involved, whether it's Drew Lock in there or Teddy Bridgewater. Because as good as Teddy looked through three games, again, those are against some pretty bad teams, pretty bad defenses. And your injuries are mounting up. You know, hearing good news that Jerry Jeudy from Courtland Sutton is attacking his rehab. I don't know if, you know, what does that mean? Does that mean he's going to be back in a couple of weeks? Nobody is on this roster that can really take the top off of the defense. So Will and Zach told us yesterday he feels like, hey, Teddy's probably going to play. Even if he doesn't practice much, as long as he can clear, he's going to practice. But make no mistake about it, this game is a critical, critical moment for Denver, especially when you look at the upcoming schedule. 29 minutes after the hour. Let's look at the Mountain West Conference coming up next with Jesse Kurtz, of lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. We'll talk to him next, but first let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Weekday afternoons at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Coach McCaffrey, your UNC head football coach, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Talking a little Mountain West football with a good friend of the show, Jesse Kurtz, lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. Jesse, well, it was another interesting weekend last week. I'll tell you, the main one for me was that Nevada-Boise State. I think for most, that was a heck of a game, but Nevada ultimately did what it needed to do, winning that thing 41-31.
Yeah, appreciate you having me on. And I mean, I think when we came into this season, it looked like, at least on paper and, you know, with what Nevada had returning, that they might be the team in the Mountain West. And obviously when they went to Kansas State and struggled there, you maybe tempered that a little bit, but they put themselves right back in that conversation with Fresno State and San Diego State right now as some of the lead dogs in this conference by going to Boise State and scoring 41 points. I mean, and 38 of which came in the first three quarters, right? And they used all their weapons. You know, you got Toa Taua, you got Carson Strong, you got Romeo Dubs, or without Elijah Cooks. But they really exercised their dominance in a place that's really tough to do. I mean, that place, Albertson Stadium in Boise, is one of the toughest places in America to walk away with a victory. And Nevada really took it to the Broncos. Obviously, you know, Boise State is backpedaling a lot right now. A lot of work to do, but credit goes to Nevada to go up there and dominate in the way that they did.
Yeah, so and let's talk about Boise State. What do you make of this Bronco team? Now, I know they've had a pretty brutal schedule, so they've certainly been battle-tested, and you know they would have liked to pull that one out at home against Nevada. So where are we? Where does it sit? I know they have a tough task coming up on Saturday against BYU.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is a program that I don't think has been 2-4 through six games since 1997.
Wow.
And you lose at BYU at you know, the 10th ranked Cougars, which if, you know, you believe in what the experts are saying, This game won't be close. So let's just say for argument's sake, they're 2-4. I mean, it's a historic start. To your point, very tough schedule. Their losses, if they do lose to BYU, will be at UCF, a game that they probably could have, should have won, had that game in hand in the second half, to Oklahoma State, good team, right? Nevada, good team, and BYU. So really, but in that program's history, those are games, or half of those games, are the ones that they have won. So it is going in the wrong direction. I think it's a product, if I had to put one, you know, put it on one thing, it's offensive line play. They're struggling to run the football. This is a program that year after year churned out 1,000-yard rushers. And obviously they're struggling to do that. They're struggling to protect Hank Bachmeier, who's getting hit on every single play, it seems like, but he keeps getting up and keeps fighting. But if they could get that turned around, I think those two things start taking care of themselves. But their schedule's not easy, right? They have BYU. Then they have Air Force. Air Force is playing well.
Yeah.
They go to Fort Collins. Then they have Fresno State, who's a contender in this league this year. Wyoming, who's a contender in this league. New Mexico, looks like that might be a game that's a winnable game. And then at San Diego State. I mean, this schedule does not let up for the Broncos.
Is it? Do we go into this season expecting, okay, well, got a new coach, you're replacing obviously a legend, but you're bringing back a guy that you really, really, hey, if there's anybody that can do it, you know, you want to get a guy that has a great name with Boise State already. But should we have gone into the season going, hey, it's going to be a little, the high expectations, maybe we should temper them down a little bit for Boise State because of that transition?
I don't think so, and the reason I say that is I don't think Andy Avalos would have wanted that or even said that would be an excuse. And I've known Andy now for 15 years, 16 years, dating back to when he was a grad assistant for Dan Hawkins at University of Colorado. He and I met a long, long time ago, and we talked about his vision for where he wanted to go in his career, there is no more competitive man than Andy Avalos. I mean, he gets after it every single day. And I know he's going to get turned around, but I don't think that he would want expectations tempered, regardless if there's a coaching change. They have talent. He's a heck of a coach. He had tremendous success at Oregon. Really could have had his pick of many jobs over the next couple of years as a rising assistant. But this is the job he wanted. His wife loves Boise. His girls love Boise. He loves Boise, and he's a all-time player there. So I don't think we should have tempered expectations. Maybe we should have been realistic with the schedule they were facing, but I have no doubt that he's going to get that turned around in short order.
We're talking to Jesse Kurtz, lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. How about one of these that you cover closely, of course, with Air Force? I mean, they beat New Mexico 38-10, not a big shocker there, but 4-1. Two games already away from a bowl game? So, I mean, if you're Air Force, you got to be feeling really good as you get into the bulk of this Mountain West Conference play.
Well, you feel good about a couple of things. One, you are exercising your strengths. I mean, when Air Force is running the football, we all know they're tough to beat. But when you're going for 400-plus on the ground every single week, and that's what they're doing three straight weeks that they're doing that, opposing defenses are just struggling with the versatility. They're throwing multiple fullbacks in there, multiple slot backs in there, multiple tailbacks. So they got fresh legs, and they are really churning things out. But you look at the defense, that's been the story. It was the story last year. Yes, they did give up the 49 to Utah State, which you kind of said, what happened there? But take that out of the equation. I believe it's now 6 of 7 or 7 of 8 that they've held teams under 20. They held Navy to 3 points. They held Florida Atlantic to 7 points and held New Mexico to 10 points. Opposing defenses are having a hard time getting into the red zone. There haven't been many red zone opportunities for opponents, and they're turning the ball over. I mean, Air Force is doing a tremendous job of forcing turnovers, and anytime you're holding a team to opposition to 10 or less points, you're going to win a lot of football games.
Air Force and Wyoming going at it this weekend, Jesse. What do you expect there? Wyoming, 4-0, but unlike Boise State, their schedule is kind of the complete opposite. I mean, but at the end of the day, you're supposed to win the games that are in front of you, and that's what Wyoming did.
Well, you look at the schedule and see WWWW. I mean, that's what it comes down to, right? Listen, this has been a fun matchup between these two teams. It was dominated by Air Force for a while, and then Wyoming took over the series, and Air Force has got a couple here. But the way that Wyoming can be balanced and be physical up front, I think, is a fascinating matchup here with the way that Air Force has been able to really lock down in the run game. You got an experienced offensive line, Keegan Kreider and company. You've got one of the best tailbacks in the West and Xavier Valade. That's a fun matchup to watch. I'll tell you, I'm excited to see Sean Chambers in person because I haven't been able to see that because he's been hurt. He got hurt early in the game, and I think it was 2018 against Air Force. And ultimately, I believe it was Tyler Vanderwall came in and led them to a victory. So I'm excited to see him. He's 13-3 as a starter. He's a difference maker. Craig Bull, you know, we'll talk at length about what he means to the success of the team. 13-3 as a starter is pretty darn good numbers. So I look forward to this matchup. It's each and every year. It's a fun to watch them play on the football field, and I don't think this year is going to be any different.
Well, some teams have had some conference games already, as we talked about with the Broncos, Utah State, Air Force. Unlike the other ones, looking just at the Mountain West Mountain, Wyoming, Colorado State, New Mexico, they're looking to start out their conference play with wins. Do you think, I mean, when you're looking at this group right now, I mean, not a lot of shockers as far as the Mountain side with Boise State. Nevada, as you talked about, is doing pretty good. San Jose State's in second in the West side of it. Are you surprised at where we're looking at in the standings so far when you're just looking at the non-conference schedule?
I suppose that I'm still surprised at Utah State. Now, obviously, they've lost a couple in a row to very good teams in Boise State and BYU. I think they're the surprise team so far. But you look at Hawaii, them beating Fresno State, being 3-3 overall now, 1-1 in conference play. it's going to be a tight, tight race. Obviously, I think right now the West Division is the stronger of the two. If you had to identify which side was stronger here in week six, you look at Nevada, Fresno State, and San Diego State, probably the leaders in trying to get to a Mountain West Championship game. That's going to be a heck of a showdown the next, say, 8 weeks between those three teams. Who's going to come out on top? And then with Boise State where they're at, next week's game against Air Force might loom very, very large as it relates to who gets into a Mountain West Championship game. So it's still obviously too early to call the race, but there are a lot of teams that I think are certainly going to be in the thick of things come early November, which is fun to see.
Jesse, the Colorado State Rams at home after a week off, they got their homecoming this weekend against the returning champs. They got San Jose State. But I'm telling you, there's a different feel up here than maybe 3 weeks ago when we were talking about the Mountain West and the Rams after losing to South Dakota State and Vanderbilt. You beat Toledo on the road. You go up against Iowa and you give them your best shot there. So suddenly people are going, maybe the Rams can pull this thing off. And I tell you what, if they can do that, things can really start to shake up in this conference.
Well, the beauty about college football is there are two seasons, right? There's a non-conference season, and they went 1-3, but looked very good in the final two. You could go 8-0 right now, and it would be a heck of a season and get to a Mountain West Championship game in conference play. Now, does anyone expect that? Of course not. It's very tough to do, but there is a clean break, and there's a breath of fresh air. And obviously, Steve Adazio and company are peaking at the right time if you look at their last two games versus Toledo and Iowa. So, and they're getting San Jose State maybe at a good time. Nick Starkel is banged up, one of the top players and quarterbacks in the league. So you might be getting them at the right time. And then you got New Mexico after that. Who knows what sort of Utah State team you're going to see after that. But I think you got a chance to really get some momentum if you're the Rams, before you go through the gauntlet of taking on Boise State, Wyoming, Air Force, and Nevada, those being four games in the final 5 weeks, and a game at Hawaii, which obviously is a tough place to win if you look at what happened to Fresno State. So those last five games are going to be really tough, but I think Colorado State can probably get a lot of momentum and get that breath of fresh air right now with the way they're playing and get off to a good start in conference play.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to this weekend. Jesse, what time does everything get started? Because I'm very intrigued by that Wyoming Air Force game. What time does everything get started for you guys?
Yeah, Air Force and Wyoming kick off at 5 o'clock. So perfect time to sit down, have some dinner, and watch some college football.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. Appreciate it as always. Everything you do for the conference. We love your coverage. Love getting you on the program, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
No, I love being on with you guys. Appreciate what you guys do.
All right, man. Talk to you soon. That's Jesse Kurtz, lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. 46 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
Northern Colorado's voice and the leader in prep sports is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Prep sports and the UNC Bears are on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. Thanks for being with us here. Shout out to Rev Chiropractic. I was in there on Monday. I've got another spot I scheduled for this week for tomorrow, but I typically go once a week. And, you know, I tell you what, guys, I've had back pain for a long time, you know, stemming from 18 years old, you know, and then it bothered me for so long. And the older I get, it's not getting any better. You add a three-year-old to that mix and wanting to exercise and do all that stuff, it was becoming difficult. It was something where I also looked at and said, man, is this just going to keep getting worse? So I met Dr. Tyler Terry through a Greeley Chamber event or something, and the way he talked about his chiropractic practice was just different. It wasn't, you know, I've tried chiropractic care. I don't have any major complaints, but I've tried where you go in, you get the crack and go, and you feel relief for a little bit, and then you get home and it starts to hurt a little bit again. Rev Chiropractic is more like playing the long game. They are working with you. Hey, you go in once a week. It's not crack. It's crack and go. It's more like, hey, we're analyzing your spine. We're trying to ultimately bend your spine back or whatever it is that's ailing you. And that's what I've experienced. I can't get into all the terminology, but take it from me, man. It doesn't take a lot of time. You know, you quick sit in there, wait for your time to go in, jump in, get looked at, get adjusted, jump out. It's not going to take you more than 20 minutes. And that's what I like about it, too. It's not necessarily the crack and go, but it's also not like a clinic where you're sitting there for an hour and your appointment was at 9 and you don't get out of there till 10:30. So I appreciate the great folks at Rev Chiropractic. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show. They're right off of 35th Avenue, 34, Highway 34 and 35th Avenue. Same shopping area as the Home Depot, Rev Chiropractic. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. Are you rooting tonight for Nolan Arenado and the Cardinals against the arch nemesis, the Los Angeles Dodgers? Adam Wainwright versus Max Scherzer tonight. Should be a good game. The Dodgers are 1.5-point favorites in this one. Do you find yourself, Colfax, after all that's passed, all the drama, all the stuff, are you going to be hopeful that the Cardinals win? Maybe you were going to root against the Dodgers anyway, but are you hopeful that the Cardinals win because of Nolan Arenado?
You know, I turned on the TV a couple days ago and Nolan was on, and I found it very difficult for me to actually cheer him on.
It's tough.
It was not easy.
Yeah.
But again, the Dodgers, just go away.
So you're.
I'll root for them.
You're more like, I'm rooting for the Dodgers to lose, not necessarily for Nolan to win.
Yes.
I know it's the same thing.
But it's kind of the same thing. But, you know, if Nolan wasn't there, I probably would have a toss-up. I wouldn't really
care. Yeah. I love rivalries. I do. But when they're not playing each other, when they're not playing my teams, it doesn't bother me as much. The Dodgers are a good team, man. They just know how to do it. I think they do it the right way. And I know a lot of people give them a lot of crap because they do go out and they get some free agents. And because there is no salary cap, those teams are looked at as the devil. But they do a lot of things right with a lot of their stars. They get some big guys coming in. But I'm gonna go unpopular here. I'm not rooting for the Cardinals.
Whoa.
I'm not a Cardinals fan. I'm not a Nolan Arenado fan. The Rockies suck, but that's my team. I'm going for the Dodgers tonight.
You want to see greatness.
I want to see greatness. I'm all about greatness. And I think the Dodgers are going to bring some greatness tonight. So I'm excited for it. I know. But that's why I waited till the end of the show to do this, so we can stop with the hate texts, at least for one day. That's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.